This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. The 16-year-old who opened fire at his high school on a Native American reservation in Minnesota last week may not have acted alone. Investigators are looking into whether Jeff Weiss's friends were in on it. They are especially interested in the tribal chief's son, who allegedly exchanged emails with Weiss about attacking the school. Behavioral scientists at the FBI had worked up a profile of Weiss, which apparently concluded that he had accomplices. Here to talk about how such a profile is put together is Greg McCrary, who constructed profiles of violent criminals when he was with the FBI. Mr. McCrary, welcome to Day to Day.
Thank you very much.
What is the purpose of developing a profile of a gunman such as Jeff Weiss, who killed himself at the scene? Why do FBI profilers need to know more about him?
This isn't a whodunit sort of crime where we sometimes, or more typically, get involved is trying to identify an unknown perpetrator. Here we know who did it. But the question is, we want to do a very thorough and meticulous reconstruction of the crime to make sure we know exactly what happened and to either identify any co-conspirators or to eliminate that possibility that anyone else may have been involved in some way. So it's all about getting to the truth.
And so in a case such as this, when you have a 16-year-old, how do you go about assessing whether or not he acted alone?
You begin by looking at sort of the statistical probabilities, or what do we know about this type of offense. And what we know is that in a significant number of these school shooting cases, there have been accomplices or co-conspirators involved in either the planning or the implementation of the violent attacks on the schools, such as in Columbine, Pearl, Mississippi. Luke Woodham, the teenager who did the shooting there, he had, there's some parallels in that case. For example, he had killed family members, and then before going to the school to shoot, he'd called another schoolmate, a guy named Grant Boyette, and told him what he'd done and what he planned to do, and Boyette encouraged him to go on to school and shoot, do more shooting at school. So the fact that we know that these things occur, and this is one of the facts that distinguish school shootings, mass murders, from mass murders in the workplace. Adults typically work alone, but what we found is that in a significant number of cases in these school shootings, there are more than one individual involved. So we start with that understanding and then begin to drill down and do a very thorough, meticulous, and methodical reconstruction of the crime, looking for any indication of a co-conspirator.
If you can, give me a more detailed picture of what we know about boys, and it is boys.
Yes.
Who open fire at their schools?
Typically, they are disenfranchised youth. They have been bullied. They have been picked on. They are ostracized. They are outliers. They are not part of the in crowd. They are disturbed. And this is a typical case, I think, in this situation. What I've read in a New York Times article here, it was that this shooter's mother had berated him and you know, just abused him psychologically, if not physically. And you know, he had a very troubled home upbringing. And then he was very much ostracized at school. And it was the same in Columbine. It's the same in these, you know, in these other shootings, that these are sort of outliers. Generally, they've made threats. They've made plans. And if we can assess that and stay sensitive to that, then that's our best opportunity to have a successful intervention and prevent these things.
Several years ago in the Washington, D.C. area, as you may recall, there were a series of sniper shootings, and the FBI profilers worked up a profile that was dead wrong.
I'm going to correct you on that because the FBI profile, to the best of my knowledge, was never released. What happened is in the media feeding frenzy, they got a lot of what I call pseudo-profilers or self-declared profilers to say, oh, it's a white male, it's this and that that's doing that. I was harassed, as you can imagine, by the media for a profile, and I said I couldn't give them one because there wasn't enough information. I talked in general about the type of crime and narcissism and personality characteristics, but to define a profile as a white male or black male, the minute I said I couldn't do that, a lot of the media was, I was listening to a dial tone. They didn't want to talk to me anymore. And they shopped around until they found somebody who could provide a profile. But this is what gives profiling a bad name sometimes, I think, if some of these pseudo-profilers or self-described profilers are out there winging these profiles, and they're going to be more wrong than right. And I think that that was a pretty good example.
Greg McCrary is a retired FBI profiler. He's the author of The Unknown Darkness, Profiling Predators Among Us. And Mr. McCrary, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.